listening to Trailer Pod Boys, the podcast dedicated entirely to the Canadian TV series Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah, is it? I thought it was. I was like, did I forget to put the fucking in my notes? And I guess I did. That's a statement that I'm going to apply to a lot of things in the future now.
And now, here are your hosts for this episode of Trailer Pod Boys, Matt, David, and Quint.
This is Trailer Pod Boys episode 61. This also is going to be the wrap-up of our Swearnut coverage. If you hadn't heard our last episode, we are cutting it one episode short, mainly because the Trailer Park Boys Netflix season is about to start, and really everything we saved for the last episode was all the Trailer Park Boys stuff anyway, so we can probably easily mix that in. Well, more about that when we get to the actual Trailer Park Boys coverage. So let's get through the last of this Swearnut. I am Matt. Joining me again, as usual, are Dave.
Hello.
And Quint.
Hi.
And in true Trailer Park Boys / Trailer Pod Boys / News As fashion, we are drinking while podcasting. We'll go around and talk about what we're drinking. I'm actually finished. If you did hear the last episode, we actually got through that a little faster than I anticipated. So I am on the last half glass of the Red Rocket Ale, and as a backup, ready to fill that said glass, is a bottle of Sam Adams Oktoberfest. I did have a second big bottle on deck for our second recording, but I think I'm going to save that for when we get into the Trailer Park Boys stuff. So I'm going to stick with... Yeah, well... It's a special bottle, so I didn't want to... I figured it's... Instead of getting a quarter through it and then drinking it off air, I'd save it for our big Trailer Park Boys coverage return.
I'll get to it.
Okay. That's what I got. Quint, what do you got so I can insult it?
I have something called Uncensored Red. It is a Geyser Peak blend wine. Geyser Peak is a winery that I used to be a member of a long, long time ago, and I've recently rediscovered due to a wonderful trip to Napa in which I had to go to a wedding. Oh, darn, in Napa. Oh, darn. Yeah. And got fucking wicked fucking drunk all fucking weekend long and hit up a bunch of wineries, including this one. And this one is actually interesting in that it's about $13 a bottle, and you can get it at most of the stores around here. And it's kind of... They've been doing it for a few years. They basically take everything they've got left at the end of harvest and at the end of winemaking and bottling and all that, or putting it in the barrels and stuff, and go, okay, we've got a little bit of this and a little bit of this and a little bit of this. What can we mix to make, like, use it up and make a decent blend? And that's what they go with, and then anything that's left over from that is what they use for topping off barrels. So this is what they've got. It's cheap, it's really good, and
you used to bring that, I mean, I'm going to say quite a bit, as much as you can for a, you know, extended weekend, and you throw in a bag. You used to bring quite a bit of that here in the early days of your visits, if you remember that.
Yeah, actually, one of the things you'll remember from Geyser Peak is their port. I used to bring their port.
Okay, that's probably the one, yeah. You probably bought it with the cigars.
Yep. And they make a fantastic Syrah port for cigars, and I bought another one, so... we do have an
timing.
We have a reunion coming up, don't we?
Yes, we do.
I wonder what we're going to be doing with Syrah port and cigars that day. Anyway, yes, Dave, what are you drinking?
So I am drinking it's called Apothic Dark. So I every so often I get an Apothic Red. It's a nice red blend. It's got a lot of body, and it's not super, super dry like a Cab or a Merlot. You know, it's a good like eating dinner wine. And I was at the store the other day, and I saw this Apothic Dark, and I was like, all right, I got to get that. It's, what do they say on the back here? Blueberry, raspberry, coffee, and dark chocolate flavors. And I have to say, it's pretty close. It's very, very dark, and
sounds like something I drink.
It does sound like something you drink. I opened it for dinner a couple hours ago, and I made like really spicy pasta sauce with hot Italian sausage in it, and so like I couldn't taste much of the wine.
Oh my god.
I mean, it was spicy enough that I was sweating profusely by the time.
Jeez,
I was done.
What'd you put in it?
Nice.
Well, I don't know, that's the thing, because I made the sauce the other day and it didn't affect me that much, and I just put the hot sausage in today, so maybe that was it, or maybe the sauce just coagulated over 2 days or something.
Yeah, no, sauces are good that way. I mean,
yeah.
So when I used to work in restaurants, we would never serve a sauce that we had made that day because they're just really not ready. You know what I mean? They got to
right. Yeah, they definitely age. Nicely.
Yeah, they need to sit in the fridge for a couple of days just so that all the spices and stuff that you've just like broken open the oils and stuff start leaking all that stuff out, and then when you reheat it after a couple of days, that's when you start getting all the aromatics and the hot and the yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I took a sip of it right now just as we started, and it's exact like it's just dark chocolate. It's the berries. It's really, I mean, I don't taste the coffee that much, which is good because I don't like coffee, but yeah, this is a pretty nice wine, and it's I think it's $10, $9, something like that.
Yeah, the Apothecs are good or interesting and cheap.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. That actually sounds good. That actually sounds like something I would like. I seem to get a less and less taste for wine as years go by. I don't know why. Anyway, that is not even remotely for any future episode whatsoever. So I'm just going to stop right there. All right, what I'm
if it postpones us talking about drunken on drugs happy fun time hour, I'm all for it.
Yeah. All right. So what we're talking about for swearing at content in this episode, as Quint just said, drunken on drugs happy fun time hour. Ask us anything with John Dunsworth, and ask us anything with Pat Roach.
That's fucking anything.
I thought it was. I was like, did I forget to put the fucking in my notes? And I guess I did. That's a statement that I'm going to apply to a lot of things in the future now.
Did I forget to put the fucking in?
Yeah, but I think suffice it to say, I think it's safe to say anyone that had listened to our, is either a wrap-up episode or our final episode before that, our final numbered episode, Quinn and I had seen Drunken on Drugs Happy Fun Time Hour, and it was not our favorite thing the boys have ever done. And I think it's safe to say, which I was trying to get to, that this is the Band-Aid that we've been awaiting to tear off just because it's a very large piece of Swearnet. It's a very large piece of Rob Wells, J.P. Trombley, and Mike Smith's entertainment history, modern entertainment history, I guess you'd say, or recent entertainment history. And third to that, Dave had never seen it before, so we wanted his perspective so we could actually have a conversation about it.
Fuck that. We just wanted to torture him and make him watch it. let's be honest here, right?
With all that being said, I'm going to ask Dave right off the bat. Dave, just go ahead and give me whatever you have to say about it, about any part of it. Go ahead and we'll go from there, because I don't really even know where or how much we should discuss this.
Yeah. So this was amazing.
amazing. Like
I loved
biscuit.
It. No, it was a train wreck. The first thing I thought was that it was kind of like Monty Python's fourth season, where they tried to go in many different directions and had different conceptual things going on.
Do not sully the name of Monty Python.
Well, I know,
even
right?
The fourth season, do not sully the name.
Yeah. But then the other thing that struck me was it reminded me of an article I read recently about Top Secret, the movie.
Oh, okay.
And so it was an interview with at least one of the Zuckers or Abrams or all three, I forget who was in the interview, and they were talking about Top Secret and how it came to be and how it didn't do so well. So, you know, they had had a big success with Airplane, and then there's like, well, great, we know how to write a funny movie. Let's do it. And they wrote Top Secret. And what they didn't realize at the time was that, yeah, they know how to write funny jokes. And if you actually watch, you know, there's a lot of funny jokes in Top Secret, but the movie doesn't make any sense. the reason why Airplane worked so well, even though they didn't know what they were doing, was because they had stolen the plot whole hog from the movie Zero Hour.
Yes, which was actually, not to overuse the word, but in a sense, somewhat devastating to me to find out when I first learned that.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like, I didn't, yeah, when you, have you ever seen the, you must have seen the clip. I think you may have shown me the clip of
possibly
things that are basically shot for shot, word for word. It's just the delivery's changed in Airplane as opposed to Zero Hour. Yeah.
And in fact, they not only did they steal the plot, they bought the rights. They own the movie Zero Hour just so they could steal the plot, lift it entirely for Airplane. And so what they didn't realize with Top Secret was that the thing that gives the jokes the weight and the entertainment value is that they're on a plot that makes some sort of sense.
Yes.
Well, it's all the context, right?
Right, the context. And so
weird side note for no reason whatsoever, then I don't want to talk about Drunken on Drugs, but Dave will like this. I'm sure you guys didn't watch Sharknado 2, right?
No.
I did. And it starts off in a plane and Robert Hayes is the pilot. and he's with this actress, African-American actress. I can't remember her name. She's very pretty. I think she was in The Craft. And he said something about, he's like, they're sitting there and he just grabs his stomach. He's like, oh, something's not sitting right. He's like, what did you eat? And she goes, chicken. I always have chicken on flights.
Oh,
nice.
That was great. That was a great little callback. Anyway, sorry. Now back to Drunken on Drugs.
Yeah. So I feel like with Trailer Park Boys, you know, they had the structure, they had the characters, they had the setup. And so all the great stuff that they came up with, the three of them plus Clattenburg, plus, you know, like the whole collaboration, all the funny stuff they came up with, fit into the Trailer Park Boys structure, and that's what made it so good. And then they were like, okay, now we're going to do Drunken on Drugs, and it's just going to be crazy and jokes and random skits that just blend into each other for no reason. And it's like, okay, this is your Top Secret, right?
Okay, yeah.
You learned your lesson, I hope. Except it's not as funny as Top Secret. Right.
Now, really, really appreciate what they tried to do. It just didn't work for me.
Yeah.
Right. And that was one of the things that I was thinking about, because Dave was texting me hoping that I would engage him while he was watching this. And I looked at my text and went, you know what, Dave? I am not talking to you until you're done. Sorry. I'm not going. I mean, I did throw him one bone, but that was it. To me, there was a lot of funny shit in Drunken on Drugs, Happy Fun Time Hour. Unfortunately, they were so far between, and the between parts didn't really work to link anything up together, that the actual funny parts, by the time you got to them, was just like, oh, please, just turn it off.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? There was just this meandering thing. They went for this variety show thing, which I understand why they did it. I just think they went too many things. It was so disjointed. The thread that they thought they had connecting all this stuff was just not solid enough, right? I mean, they needed a rope, not a thread sort of thing.
Exactly. If they just dialed it back a little bit, threw a little bit more of a through line in there with the drugs and the hallucinations, and like at least explain it at the beginning, maybe as to what's some going on, like, a little bit more.
Yeah. I think it could have worked, because, man, I saw stuff from JP that I haven't seen him do ever before. Now,
I do have in my good notes, JP, this is a side of JP that I absolutely loved watching him do, because I just, it's something we've never seen him do before. I think what he does, for the most part, he does really, really well. And I didn't expect any of it from him.
He was so much more than the straight man he normally is.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. We definitely saw a lot more different stuff from him, and most of it was good. I didn't like the when he played the woman in the cult. That was terrible.
That was his worst part.
That was his worst part. But the pirate and the Orient, or the Asian guy, those two were fucking.
You can call
him
Oriental.
I'm old school, right? I mean,
the kind of dim-witted or simple gangster grandson.
Yes.
He had a lot of scenes, a lot of lines in that were just really well done. I really did enjoy. Again, a lot of this, I appreciated and enjoyed what they were doing. I just didn't enjoy it as a final product, per se.
Right. It was.
Right.
And that was, I think, what I was trying to get to with.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like, no. What I was trying to say with, like, the thread that bound us all together didn't work for me.
Mm-mm. Okay, I'm not sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
There were fun shticks in there, and I mean, I know what they're trying to do. They were trying to say, okay, if we do it in this little sandbox thing, this gives us a sandbox and we can do whatever the fuck we want. If we think of a stupid shtick, we can jam it in here somehow. No problem. If we want to be superheroes today, we can. If we want to be pirates today, we can. If we want to be nuns today, we can. Yeah. You know, sort of thing, which is cool, but you got to tie it all together a little bit better than they did.
Yep. You gotta ground it a little bit. Just give me something to hang on to, because it's like when you're jumping to World War II and to the superheroes and stuff without any reason whatsoever. It's like, is it like Delirious, you know, the John Candy movie where whatever they write happens, are the pirates and everyone else actors who think they're for real, or like I don't know what the reality of the situation is, you know?
That was the other thing. It took way too long for them to get to a point where you kind of started to understand what was going on.
Yeah, and I didn't know what the fuck the deer thing was all about until the very end.
Yeah.
And maybe I just missed the explanation at the beginning or something, but...
No, probably not.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was... I agree with your assessment, Dave. Train wreck.
It's got I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can't look away sometimes because there are some gems.
That's exactly how you and I watch it. Quentin and I and Dave, I'm assuming you binged watched it, right?
Yeah,
that's how Quentin and I watched it. We couldn't stop. It's like we're sitting there having the general conversation we're having now, but yet could not stop watching it.
Yep. Well, a part of that was I was ready to stop. You just had to inflict it on somebody else because you'd already seen it. And you were just like, no, you were watching all of this because I had to. Fuck you. And we just did that to Dave, too. So that was, you know, I got my revenge, right?
Yeah.
It's got an interesting...
Dave, can you actually get, like, Tim to watch this?
I don't know Tim that well.
Oh, damn. I don't either. That's why I was just trying to give you an out, like give you somebody you could revenge this on to.
I'm trying to think of someone I would inflict this on.
But I do want to talk about the supporting cast, because it's got a hell of an interesting supporting cast.
It does.
Yeah.
It's got Amy Sedaris from Strangers with Candy, which is another oddball thing that I enjoyed some things of or what and whatnot. Maury Chaykin.
She's pretty good.
Yeah, she's good in it. She's actually very good in this.
Yeah.
But then there's Maury Chaykin. And this is unfortunately at the end of his life, and it kind of is evident.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think, the last...
They didn't give him anything good to do, you know?
No. I think this is the last aired thing. It's not the last thing he shot, but since the delay in airing in this was so long, I think this is like the last aired thing. So it is an unfortunate swan song for him. And interestingly, if you guys remember, when we saw the preview on their tour in the U.S., when they showed the preview, the clips of this character that he played, the Dr. Funtime, was actually originally filmed with Alex Lifeson in that role.
Oh, yep. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Alex Lifeson started doing this and dropped out for whatever reason.
Yeah, that is ringing a bell.
I think... Alex Lifeson was their second choice, and when Maury Chaykin finally said yes, they just said, sorry, Alex, I know you want to be in it, but we're going to take the actor.
Yeah, I mean, Maury Chaykin, he's a great actor, and he's kind of perfect for that role if they had written it better.
Right, and his body of work is fantastic. Like, dude is a great actor. And so, you know, if you're stuck between Alex Lifeson, who's, you know, really, I mean... I have a totally different opinion of Alex Lifeson after Trailer Park Boys.
Absolutely.
You know, I really do. You know, you get a guy like this who's like up for anything, up to do anything, just to be on TV and just have fun with these guys. And, you know, but if you have a choice between that and this, you know, almost thespian sort of class actor, you kind of got to go with the actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, having Alex Lifeson in it would be cool, but if you have Maury Chaykin, choose him.
The thing that's a little frustrating about this is, and one of you guys mentioned it earlier, is like they put a lot of work into this.
Yes,
some of those costumes were amazing. Yeah.
That is true. I still, at this viewing, I forgot I couldn't, it took me a minute to figure out when they got to the DJ, the best I can describe them as is the DJs.
The DJs, yeah.
I always have a hard time pinpointing which is Rob Wells and which is Mike Smith. Now,
I gave up trying to figure out who was who with the DJs.
Now, with JP, the only reason I remember who JP is because when we saw the preview, they did the whole, like, Rob Wells, and they'd show all his characters, and Mike Smith, and JP, and I was like, and they showed the Asian DJ as JP. I'm like, holy shit, that's John Paul Trumbly? That's the only reason I remember that. I don't remember. I think the black guy was Mike Smith, and the other guy was Rob Wells, but...
Sure. I actually...
Exactly, sure.
I was a little disappointed in the DJ sketch, because that had a lot of promise. Like, the funny stuff was a little throwaway stuff, like... The station number was like 102.3.9, you know, yeah. Or something like that. It was a ridiculous two decimal station number. And
that's, I think, a lot of what happened here was, like, a lot of the stuff that was really funny was the throwaway stuff. And a lot of the things that they were really hoping to build up to and thought were really funny just didn't work that well.
Yeah.
You know, but the other bits, the little bits worked.
Yeah, some of them did. Yeah, the makeup, the junior character, you know, the gangster with his hair lip all the way or up, like that's some serious makeup to pull his lip all the way up that far. And you know, I forget there was a couple other pieces of makeup that are like, okay, it looks like you subtracted something from their face rather than added, and that's difficult to do in makeup.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
No, I agree. I think they had some well. And I think this was one of the reasons that they had to do Swear Net the way they did is because somebody gave them a bunch of money and said, hey, yeah, do whatever the hell you want. Trailer Park Boys was fucking awesome. And they did this. And, you know, they had the money to do the production values, and they used it effectively for all that stuff, like the makeup and the sets and all that stuff. Just unfortunately didn't hire some sanity checkers for the right... for the writing.
Maybe. I don't know. I have a very conflicted opinion of this.
Well, this, and to me, what this really sets up is, okay, so Clattenburg is no longer part of the new Trailer Park Boys. You know, we don't have any of the real old guard. And I'm calling them the old guard because that might have been what they were, is like, they were the guys that reined in the boys and said, yeah, no, that's funny and shit, but we want to kind of like keep this on the rails. Is that what's going to happen? Who knows? I mean, I really think that the next season of Trailer Park Boys is going to tell us how much we're going to miss Barry Dunn and Clattenburg.
You know, I am going to tell you I have a different opinion of that because, and I think, well, I mean, I don't have anything to base this on, but I did see... Don't Legalize It, and I did not like it. I like it about as much as I like the Countdown to Liquor Day, and those are both Mike Clattenburg were involved, and I'm not saying by any means he had anything to do with it. I think the problem with those two movies is the long form format. I don't think their stories can be told that long.
That's probably, you know, that's a good point, because which one was the one that culminated with them trying to rob the bank? Was that Countdown to Liquor Day?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that seemed like a season plot that really needed like episodic things to do it. And, you know, they tried to jam so much stuff into it and it ended up being disjointed again, you know?
And I think that's why I have hopes on the series being better, the Trailer Park Boys series, because I think they'll probably have that underlying story that goes through the whole thing, but each episode is going to have its own story. And if they are following that format, and these three guys were writing since season two, if not even one. I have to go back and check. I know for two, for sure. Wow. So they know the characters and they know the structure and they know how to make it work.
I have no doubt that they know how to make it work. And the other thing that gives me a lot of hope is that I don't know about the first season they're doing for Netflix, but I know for the second season they're doing for Netflix, Jonathan Torrance is on the writing team.
He is.
So that gives me a lot of hope too.
And they are not directing it. I don't know if they know their limitations or if they're getting just want to get other names involved. They are not listed as directors in any of these episodes. They are getting to an extent, established directors to do this. Well, Jonathan Torrance, maybe not established yet, but there's, God, what is his name? You would know what he did. Warren Sonoda, you might not know him, but some of his work I recognize. Not that I've seen it necessarily. Then again, maybe not. This might not be the right guy. I might call it that. But my point is,
they're getting professional directors.
Yes, they're getting experienced directors. Maybe not established. Yeah. Established might have been the wrong word.
Whatever. They're not pulling a Lucas.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Right. I mean, and that's cool. I mean, the fact that they can see where the limitations are, that's awesome.
I'm sorry. There is something you may or may not have seen this. Todd in the Book of Pure Evil. Jason Mewes is in that.
Long time ago.
He did a few of those. So that was the one I recognized that this particular director did. So he did quite a few episodes of season 8. So
cool.
I don't know. My hopes are really, and they're not high because I don't want to be disappointed, but I have good hopes for this. Let's say that. That's about as much as I'm willing to say.
And in my opinion, like, I look at this and I see, you know, they've got John Dunsworth back. They've got Jonathan Torrance back. They've got, like, they've got a lot. And from what I understand, they've got Corey and Trevor back.
Yeah, at least Corey. I'm not sure if Trevor's back.
Okay. But so they're getting a lot of the principles that I think they need to come back. Sarah and Lucy are back. Like,
Trinity's back. The same actress played Trinity. Jenna Harrison's back. Yep.
What kind of strings did they have to pull to get Lucy back? Because wasn't she in the military?
Yeah, it's like, true.
Like, I mean, they must have really been pulling a lot of strings and pulling a lot of stuff together to get her back. I think they're going to do well. I hope they're going to do well because I would love to see more Trailer Park Boys. I don't think that they've tapped the well there. I think that there's tons of stuff to be done there.
Yep. Yeah, I can't agree anymore.
Yeah.
All right, do we really want to talk about Drunken on Drugs anymore?
I was going to say, now that we've drifted away from Drunken on Drugs so far.
I have other notes and I just deleted them. So I don't even know what they said.
Just point out that Phil Collins appeared briefly.
Oh, that is important to say. Yes, Richard Collins did have an appearance.
And it could have been funny. Like, the concept of the character was kind of funny. Like, he was the director that they hired to direct the show, and all he could say was action and cut.
Yep.
And then he was in the show for 2 minutes and done.
Yeah, you know. It could have been better. Well, actually, I would have liked to see him just become a running gag.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was like a prime thing, just to have him in every episode for 2 minutes, even 30 seconds, as this running gag of action or cut or both.
Right.
Wherever it happened to be, and then he scurries off behind something, right? Like, that would have been perfect.
Yeah.
But they did not go that route.
Yeah. Almost, in hindsight being 2020, and particularly in this case, years later, could have even used him to say action before they went into one of their surreal moments and then cut when they're in real life again.
Yeah, something. Anything.
I will say Pat Roach was good in this, I thought.
Yeah, he was all right.
He was in all the reality-based scenes. And
I mean,
what am I trying to say? He's but I only know him for one thing, and he's something different, and I believe it. I don't know if that's downplaying the job he actually did, but it was nice seeing him in something different and forgetting he was Randy for a little bit, so...
Yeah.
No, I think that's just... honestly, that's just complimenting his skills as an actor, really.
Okay,
that's all
right.
It's doing. Yeah. You know, he is versatile. He can make you forget that he was Randy. That's a huge thing for somebody who's a typecast actor like that.
Yeah.
If he can make you forget that that's who he was, that's a big thing.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Anything else before we put that to bed forever for the rest of our lives?
Yeah. No. Yeah. One more real quick thing. I mean, you know, the World War II stuff, even though it was, like, in itself done well, like, I thought it had no connection to the rest of it, and I couldn't understand how it fit in. But I thought, like, Jay Baruchel as, what was his name, Private Prosciutto, he made me laugh a couple of times.
I forgot, just with
his looks or whatever. He was funny.
He was on my list for the supporting actors, too, because now he's, like, in everything.
Yeah.
Everywhere I turn, there he is.
So
and
that's
I like
them
generally in what I see too. Yeah. So, oh, and John, we, I guess should we mention John Dunsworth is in it and quite possibly the oddest role I've ever seen him in. And
they
I watched Haven.
Wasted him. Yeah. Like I cannot. That what was the he? Stupidest thing ever.
He was the pizza guy that had no arms that made pizza with his feet.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't. I just didn't understand what they were doing there.
Nobody did. I mean, it's not true. Back when, we were looking into Drunken on Drugs, Happy Fun Time Hour, and that brief period between when it aired in Canada and when Matt and I saw it, I did go online and I checked out a few of the forums and stuff. And one of the things that I saw was that there was at least three guys that actually really liked it and thought everybody else was screwed. And everybody else fucking hated it. So to those three guys... You're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there is, you have, if you're a fan, just, you certainly just, should support The Boys, but you really got to draw a line. Because you're not doing them any good. I mean, if you're going to sit there and tell them something that is clearly not good is good, they're going to not know when they possibly have made a mistake. So that's all I can say. I know some of the boards I've seen too, people said this is like the greatest thing since Trailer Park Boys. I'm like, no, it's really not. And believe me, I completely appreciate what they're trying to do as being someone who only wishes they'd have an opportunity to be able to produce something a lot of people would see. I appreciate what they're trying to do. It just didn't work.
Yep. And you know, it's experiments have to be done.
They do.
And,
yes.
You know, you got to try things. And I think this was something that they really wanted to try, and they thought they were going to – it was a good shtick. It just didn't work out. Like, it's like, honestly, they need to take – there was good stuff. Take the good and keep it, and then just learn from all the other stuff and just – keep going.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's easy for us to sit and criticize as viewers, but I mean,
Wait, dude, we have a podcast. That's our job.
Yeah. Okay. But I think we're fair. I mean, we have certainly said what's good about it, but it's all around not something I'd recommend. If you like Trailer Park Boys, I don't think you'll necessarily like this.
Right.
Is my bottom line review of it.
And let's ask fucking John fucking Dunsworth fucking anything now.
Yeah, let's get to some good stuff. Ask us fucking anything with John Dunsworth, man.
I just want to hang out with this dude. This dude is the grandpa that I always wanted.
I couldn't even put specifics. I do have clips. I have clips from this and I have clips from the Ask Pat anything. The most I have are from the John Dunsworth one. But I just sit here and put bullet points because there's so much good stuff.
So I really tried not to type out a lot because I didn't want to give it away. I would encourage our listeners to go pay the $420. I mean, if you just listen to this stuff in a month, this is worth double the $420 you're paying minimum. Yep. It's awesome stuff.
Yep. First thing I've noted is that we learned he's 67. Not that I've ever wondered how old he is, but I found it interesting to find out he's 67.
Yep.
He just seems... in a weird sense, timeless. He's just John Dunsworth / Jim Leahy now.
Seems like that 60-plus guy that is always going to be 60-plus.
Now, when
plus.
The hell was the first Trailer Park Boys? Because I just thought about that. How long have I been watching him? And he's always seemed the same to me. When the hell was... Let's see. 2001, so 13 years.
Yep.
13 years, wow.
Yeah, he's one of those
54.
People.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he just kind of hit a certain age and hasn't aged since then.
He doesn't like to drink, but he does like to toke.
I thought was interesting because I remember him saying before that he doesn't drink, and it was a nice counterpoint to the fact that he plays a drunk.
Right.
I thought, okay, well, he doesn't drink. He's kind of a teetotaler. That's cool. Whatever. And then I was like, Oh, but he tokes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, it gets better because in episode 9, we realize that he does mushrooms.
Right. He does everything but drink.
Yeah. Right. It's like, yeah, alcohol just never was my thing, but I'll drop acid with you. Like, okay. Like seriously, this is the grandpa that I wanted. He does crafting and like sculptures and he builds a boat every year. And it's like, I just want to go and hang out in the shop with this guy. Put screws into a boat and toke up with him and hang out. Like, that sounds so much fun.
Now, see,
he makes these like totem poles or something.
Right.
Now, that's, I was just going to say, Quinn wants to do the boat with him. I want to go visit that room where we saw a glimpse of his paintings. Mm. I want to take a better look at those paintings. Mm. I have many questions for him. I had no idea he was a painter. Right. So that was that was the one I took away. That's the conversation. That's the day I want to spend with him. The art day with him.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's like, let's go do a long weekend. I don't know what you're going to do, Dave, but I'm going to go hang out. We're going to boat with him. Matt's going to check out the art room, and then Dave's going to, I don't know, toke up with him? I hate it.
If I smoked, man, I don't really care for
that. Maybe you hang out with one of the three daughters.
Ooh. Heck yeah.
Or four daughters. Yeah. I forget how many he said. He's got four.
They're all involved in the show. So
yeah, right.
Dave, you trust me, Dave's going to hit the sun.
Oh. That was unnecessary.
He wasn't, but it's been so long since I've done one of those. I had to.
Insert Dave Isgay joke here.
Exactly.
Well, let me get to some clips here. We talked about the daughters. Someone did ask a question about the daughters, and I thought this clip was particularly, it gave me a
boner.
No. It gave me a smile, but a, like, not a ha-ha smile, like, oh, that's a cute smile.
Sarah was quite a handful when she was younger, I want you to know. I'm not going to go into it here because if she sees this, she'll kill me. But big time. Yeah.
Just that little at the end.
Yeah. And that was like, oh, yeah, I wanted to be one of her bad boyfriends, you know?
Yeah, I thought I put the question in there, but I didn't. So to preface that, someone asked who was the biggest handful of all his daughters. Yes. You probably got out of that question, out of the answer.
Yep. So one of the things that hit home a little bit just because of when I watched this, you know, being just barely watching this in, you know, end of August, the picture of him or the picture of him and Robin Williams with the Dictionary.
Well, it wasn't him, but it was.
No, not Robin him. Sorry. Yeah. Robin Williams with the Dictionary.
Yeah, I have that note, too. I was like, what?
That was really like, wow. Yeah. You know, I know that. When this aired and when the picture was taken and all that stuff, it was, you know, nothing had happened. And now with Robin Williams having gone on, it's it was just kind of a cool little thing to see. Man, even Robin Williams liked him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I think it was funny to see people kept asking about, you know, how much they ad-libbed on the show, and it was kind of always the same. No, that was scripted.
Right.
No, that was scripted. No, that was always scripted, you know, which I think it's funny because we've had this discussion forever now as well, and I think it's the nature of the show, right? Because it's a fake documentary, which makes us as the audience feel like it's more spontaneous than it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Well, and I think we've seen some interviews with the guys and stuff where we know a lot of the boys' dialogues once in a while were ad-libbed. But it seems from Randy and Leahy, nothing. Like, they stuck to the scripts, very little ad-libbing.
Yeah, Sarah completely turned me around on that opinion. Sarah herself, on the interview we had with her, said, no, that almost everything you see on there is scripted, at least the stuff that she was in and the boys for the most part. So she's turned my mind around on that. Of course, Sarah could just about turn my mind around on anything, but that's another story.
No, it's kind of cool because, you know, you look at this ensemble cast that they had and you think, oh, okay, come on. They've got to be like doing a whole bunch of this improv stuff. Cause that's where a lot of these guys started. Yada, yada, yada. Yep.
Nope.
Just like read the line. Then of course I think about it with my rational brain, and it's like, all these ad-libbers are the guys that are actually writing the scripts, so they're probably ad-libbing this stuff while they're writing together, and then they come up with it, and it's just like, do the lines,
yeah,
right? I mean, it makes sense.
I'm thinking it might be, that's actually a great point. So it might negate what I'm going to say, but I'm wondering if any improv that there is, it might be the improv to the level that the three of us are experienced with projects we did, where we write out the lines, we write out the story, and then as we're saying them, something more comfortable comes, so a couple words get changed, but the rest of the story hasn't changed. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you change the "and" and the "the" and the, yeah, right. You know, the "is" and the "are" and whatever, because it's more comfortable speech. It's how people talk. That works. That's an ad lib, but it's not one of those things where you're going completely off script and into the weeds, right?
Yeah, it's not like you're saying, "and then Bubbles got arrested." And I'm like, fuck, what? No, Bubbles is in the next scene in the trailer. What the hell?
We're not playing yes and on. Yeah, right, here.
Yeah. A Starbucks and on Mars.
It makes more sense when you think about it as a low budget show, because ad-libbing, that takes time, which equals money, right?
Right. And it takes extra shots, which is money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you're ad-libbing, like if you ad-lib, especially even though this is mostly documentary shot, they did break into the sort of coverage at some point. And so if you ad-lib something in one take, you've got to do it the same way in all the other takes.
Right.
And so now you've got to do all the other takes the same way. And if you change it, then you got to go back and shoot the other things, you know. So, yeah. It's a lot cheaper to follow the script.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So, did you have some clips of Lane?
I have some clips. I do have this. Let me preface this one just a little bit. I love how John, and we're going to see we're going to see polar opposites in between John Dunsworth and Pat Roach. This is how John Dunsworth handles shitty comments that are directed at his character rather than himself.
Julian Polly Colombo, fuck off, Leahy. Thank you. That's very nice.
Yeah. He was great. Like he had the perfect response to everything. He was gracious to the people who were insulting his character. He was gracious to everyone else, you know.
Yep.
But with just enough snark, you know?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And he did that seamless sort of switch between John Dunsworth and Leahy that was scary.
Yeah.
It gave me the willies a couple of times when it was like, all of a sudden it was like halfway through a sentence, I'm like, oh shit, he switched into Leahy. You know, just really, really good.
I have a clip here. I don't know why I pulled this. Quint, maybe you can help me out. I'll just have to play it here.
If you got a job you don't like and you can't stand it, walk the fuck away. It's a shit of this.
Yeah. I'm not sure why I pulled that.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. What did he say? Let me hear that again.
If you've got a job you don't like and you can't stand it, walk the fuck away. It's a shit abyss.
Yeah, I don't know why I pulled that, but I think that's going to be stuck in my head for a while.
Yeah, well, trust me, I already applied for two new jobs. So.
Really?
Fuck you, man. And the horse you rode in on. Speaking of horses, never look a shit horse in the bum. That was a best line of his. Never look a shit horse in the bum. Yeah. That was awesome.
I have two more clips here. One I pulled specifically for Quint because it was in a text message.
You know, the shocker. Well, here in Sunnyvale, we invented the minivan. That's two in the front, five in the back.
I love that one.
That was good.
That was,
it's unfortunate,
awesome.
You can't see the fist he was making on the five on a podcast.
No, it is. It's actually not unfortunate. Go pay the $450 for one month and go and see this stuff. That is just a taste of, like, there's 11 episodes with John Dunsworth. He is that hilarious and that cool in all 11 of those episodes. They're at least 5 minutes apiece. That's like an hour's worth of John Dunsworth
for
being really fucking awesome.
$4.20.
Go see it.
That's less than half of a movie ticket, and that's half the extent of a time of a movie.
And it's better than most movies you're going to see these days.
That's true, yeah.
Except Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah. Thanks.
God, I love that movie.
That was awesome. That was one. And the other, there's one word that he uses that I had to use, and I'm not going to give any context because I want people to go and listen to this, but Olymp Dicks.
Yeah.
Olymp Dicks was a really funny one, and... Yeah, seriously, people, just go out and pay the $4.20 and watch this guy's interview.
I got one more clip here. It's the final one because it gave me the biggest laugh when I wasn't expecting it, because it was surrounded by things that were more, I wouldn't say, I don't want to make it sound like I wasn't laughing at what he said, because I wasn't necessarily laughing because it was so fucking interesting. Then out of the blue, this question came up.
Ralph Wallace, tits or ass? Both.
The second both is what got me.
Yeah.
So that's all my clips for John Dunsworth. That's John fucking anything.
And honestly, not to disrespect Matt or anything, but you pulled barely the scratch of the surface.
And I didn't, I mean, we made it clear, if you hadn't heard the setup for this miniseries, we were not going to play much because we encourage you to not only support the boys, but have a good time watching this because it's worth watching. So we're not going to give
very
it away.
Much so.
Boys, yeah, support the boys, support their efforts, and it's well worth it. I mean, there's far more positive than negative to check out on this. Far more.
Yeah, and it's been a pleasure to watch a bunch of this stuff. But honestly, these Ask Us Fucking Anything things were really big highlights that you should really go watch.
So going from possibly the most interesting person in the involved with Trailer Park Boys and their Ask Me Anything, we might go to the most salty person in the Trailer Park Boys cast and Ask Me Anything with Pat Roach. I said this in the last episode. I said this. This is what I was talking about if you heard the last episode. The line between Pat Roach the man and Randy the character for the general public has to be an immense burden of sorts for Pat Roach to live with. And if there's any question of that in my mind, it was all answered in this segment.
Yeah. That guy, it's hard for me to really understand when I watch him on the SwearNet stuff, how much of this is Randy, how much of this is Pat, and how much of this is some blend of the two that he just doesn't know how to sort out anymore.
Well, let's set the tone. This is like within the first 5 seconds of this series. Here's what he says to get things started.
If I say your name wrong, fuck off. I don't know how you fucking say your name, okay?
Which I thought was awesome because I can't pronounce names worse shit.
I also thought it was hilarious that he was calling out people on their bad spelling and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, God. It was... First of all, that's not a question. Second of all, you might want to learn how to spell.
That's true. I mean, not most, but there was a lot of things where it's like, Randy, eat a cheeseburger, you fat fuck. You know, things of that extent.
Just, it was a bunch of stupid stuff.
It was. And I'm sure the deck was stacked against him.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know that Mike has been stacking the deck against him, right? I mean, you saw, like... This is how I knew that they were really starting to stack the deck against him. Is like, on the last couple of episodes of this, they're starting to fuck with him on the screen.
Oh, let's not even go there yet.
Oh,
I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
There were a couple positives in it for me.
Oh, yeah.
There was a nice little quick story about the dog in the original black and white movie. I thought that was a nice story. About whose it was and whatnot and who they borrowed it from. And his name was Caesar. I thought, oh, that was cool. That's a little detail that I totally forgot. Yes, he played like, his name even wasn't Pat. It was, I don't know what it was. It was like Kevin. I don't think it was it, but it was something innocuous, like, you know, just an average name. And he had a dog. And that was the whole premise, which I've also forgot of Trailer Park Boys in the first place, is that they were
trying to kill a
pet
dog.
Assassins. They're pet assassins. Exactly. So
God.
That was a nice little flashback. That I had totally forgotten about. There's one person that asked if he should like pay off his credit cards or invest in something. I'm like, oh shit, that's right. Pat Roach was a financial advisor way back when.
Yep.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
That's funny.
Like when the show first started.
Are you fucking serious? Pay off the goddamn cards.
That's how I tried to get an interview with him. I had emailed the firm he worked for, never got an answer. He may have left by the time I had gotten it, but I found his listing on, like, you know, Canadian Edward Jones or whatever the hell it was. I don't know what it was. It had a profile picture and everything.
God.
And then we get someone called him a bitch. And remember how just 20 minutes ago I said how John Dunsworth kind of slides in and out of people attacking his character or him and just moves on? Pat, not so much, as demonstrated in this clip.
What's it like being the bitch to Mike, Rob, and JP? What the fuck? Won't you fuck off, Todd? I'm not fucking anybody's bitch. I'm my own fucking guy. I just try hard to fucking do things. Fucking bitch. You're a fucking bitch. All your friends, Todd, should call you a bitch. Todd Walters' friends. Say, hey, bitch, you're my bitch. Your new nickname? Bitch. Actually, call him a fucking bitch. Fucking bitch. Hey, Todd. No. Fucking bitch, Todd. Fuck off.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing we were talking about earlier about how much of him is the character, right. And how much the boys deal with him as a character. And I think that's definitely like the petulant, you know, whiny little baby Pat is part of his shtick.
Yeah, I'm sure it was, but it was still fun for me, at least.
And there's a few places here where, and I had this note on the second episode, where it actually starts channeling Bob and Doug for me.
Okay.
Like, he's got this whole, like, shtick where it's like he's in his own little world of this is how it exists for me, and this is like the way Bob and Doug had their own little, like, this was what, I don't know, it just it really felt like a channeling of Bob and Doug for me when I was watching it, and it was a cool thing. I actually really enjoyed it, and then it got away from it for a while, and then we'd come back to it every once in a while because I have a tick mark everywhere that it came up again. It was like two or three episodes where it was like, yeah, there you go. He's channeling those guys.
Okay.
Which was fun. I mean, you know, they are one of the original Canadian, skit duos that are, immortal.
Yeah. It went big. Yeah. At least, so there's one thing that is common between Pat and John Dunsworth is that they both did their own stunts.
Right.
For John, it was the falling down and everything else. And he had this great story about how he hurt himself, but he continued to work because he didn't want to not be able to do his own stunts. And with Pat, it's his gut. There was no stunt gut.
Yeah, no stunt gut. But Pat does not do his own stunts because they wouldn't let him jump the cheeseburger.
Right.
So he doesn't do his own stunts. So I don't know what you're trying to say here, man.
Well, he had his, there was no stunt gut.
Oh, okay. No, I'm just fucking with you.
Good job, because I don't know what you did. I have a note that says Jesus is Jean-Luc Picard. Why did I write that? Anyone remember what that had anything to do with?
I wrote down that I knew that. So he got asked the question about what three historical figures he would like to get fucked up with. And I knew he was going to say Jesus, and he did. So that must be.
I know why he said it. About. I know why he said it, because he said you can get drunk with Jesus and you say, hey, Jesus, make this hangover go away. And he'll just be like, make it so. That's what it was. Oh.
Nice.
And the whole thing where it was like, Jesus, get me some good weed.
Yeah.
Was very much like a, the Star Trek, like, give me a fucking tea, Earl Grey hot.
Oh. Yeah, okay, sure.
Sort of things, you know what I mean? Replicators, thank you, that fuck. Thing. Can you edit that?
Sure, I can. Not gonna.
No, you can't. I'm way
Quint,
too far
have you listened to any Neo's As podcasts?
Yes.
Nothing gets edited.
It's too much work. There's a billion of them, and I'm on all of them. If I'm not recording, I'm posting. I don't have time to edit.
Yeah.
There's a phrase I'm going to walk away with the rest of my life. Stick it right in the cock. Oh, shit. Stick it right in the eye of your cock.
Yep.
And
I got that one. The horse burgers.
The horse burger. Burgers. Mm. Well, speaking of burgers, we learned that Pat's favorite burgers is Five Guys.
Yes. Yep. And we also know that he's got a really good recipe for burgers.
Yes.
Or at least method. I wouldn't say recipe, but it was a method on how he cooks his burgers and how he makes them. And it sounded actually pretty damn good. Like
I thought it was a good one.
Yeah, make a thick burger, 4 minutes, 4 minutes, cheese on the bottom. And that sounded pretty damn good.
Yeah. I'll try it tomorrow.
And he doesn't like math. He bitches about math all the time.
Now, talking back at the stacking the deck against him, in the final episode or two, I think it's the final episode, he suddenly gets a bunch of handwritten posts.
Oh, yeah.
So that's when we know he's being fucked with.
Oh, yeah.
Which was hilarious. One of them, I don't know what the hell they said about him. But
Or the printer stopped working.
Yeah, right.
One or the other.
The PS at the bottom of one of them was, PS, I will fight you, was awesome. I'm going to put that. That's going to be my signature of my emails from now on. PS, I will fight you.
So the one thing that had the running gag through all of this was the walrus bits. And in the last episode, the walrus thing just finally comes
I was gonna pull that, but the clip I had pulled before was the bitch, and they're pretty similar. Yeah, so I figured that's too much of the same thing.
It is, but this is just another reason for our listeners to go and pay the $4.20.
Right,
you need to listen through this whole thing because the walrus bits are fun.
Yep.
And then we get to them fucking with him on the monitor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just like. And the best part about it is after they fuck with them on the monitor, at that point you can see they're just going through Facebook and checking stuff out and checking things out. It's just like they are not paying attention to him anymore. They're just scrolling through Facebook. It's fucked. I couldn't stop watching the monitor after that.
I wrote down one of the lines, and I have no context for this, and I watched it yesterday, and I still don't remember what it was. But it's just a teaser for those of you who should pay the money and go watch it. It's, "I'll fucking life insurance you." It just cracks me up, and I have no idea what it's from.
I remember that shtick, actually, and it is good enough to go and watch. Actually, both of the Ask Us Fucking Anything segments are well worth the money for actually a year subscription.
There's more, and we may or may not cover them because now we're in the Trailer Park Trailer Park Boys season 8 stuff. This is shit that was being not well. It's not shit. This is the footage that was being filmed while they were filming season 8, and they had some Ask Me's with Corey and with Conky.
Oh, cool!
And I'd really like to at least hit the Conky one because. Brian, the creator of the Trailer Park Boys Monopoly board that we had the pleasure of interviewing, he got one of his questions asked. So I would I'd like to at least cover that.
Cool.
But and they're all great. I mean, even though the Conky one, you can imagine what that is. But the Corey one, even though he's on site, is some stuff about Corey Bowles. So they're insight that I've never seen before, and if you are a listener to this show, you know I've scoured the internet and every archive I could to get interviews and clips and whatnot. I used to open the show with those, so I thought I had learned all I could learn from the internet. Absolutely not. This subscription to SwearNet taught me even more. So if you want to know more about the people involved in this, there's yet another reason upon reasons that we've already given you to subscribe to SwearNet.
The other thing that I would say about the Ask Us Fucking Anything segment is exactly what you were alluding to for other stuff. Is like the John Dunsworth one, and that's why I think I like that one so much, was that you actually learned a lot about John Dunsworth and not just Jim Leahy and John Dunsworth's relationship to Jim Leahy. You learned a lot about, you know, what he does for fun, what his hobbies are, why he's such a happy guy, like just all the stuff that you really want to just kind of like sit and hang out with him because, just go watch the segment.
There was one of my notes I forgot to bring up. There's this infamous clip of him and Jim Nunn, and that we've used it to open one of our shows where they get basically into an argument on one of the Canadian news shows. I don't know which one. And I always assumed it was a setup, an ambush for Jim. For John Dunsworth, we learned all these years later, this was more or less planned out to happen the way it happened because those two knew each other well, and it was something Jim Nunn had needed for whatever reason. It was a fantastic story behind something that is pretty infamous with Trailer Park Boys at this point.
Yeah.
Well, there's yet another reason to check this out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good story.
Again, the 420 is worth it. Go do it.
Yep. Yep. And that is, that's the extent of my notes. P.S. I will fight you.
P.S. I will fight
you. That's my last note.
And P.S. I will fight you. And P.S. we're looking forward to the coming back of Trailer Park Boys in their full glory.
I can't wait. So, that is it. Dave, do you have anything else? I didn't mean to
run I'm buckshot. Good.
Okay. That is it for the SwearNet content as far as the miniseries go. Like I said, there is a bunch of, there's 50 short clips that they filmed while filming. And actually, that gives us a perfect opportunity to take breaks and put middle sections in the episodes. That's something we will work on. But that is what is coming up next. Trailer Park, by the time you hear this, Trailer Park Boys will probably have already started on Netflix. it's coming at an incredibly inconvenient time for me. I will be on vacation for a couple weeks while this airs, so we will be
because our listeners don't know about delays at all.
Yeah, exactly. They're used to that from us. So it gives people plenty of time to watch it. But the next episode, we will be starting to cover Trailer Park Boys Season 8, and I'm more excited about it now, having caught up with the boys, in a sense, through this SwearNet, having caught up with you guys in terms of talking about Trailer Park Boys. And, yeah, I'm just really looking forward to seeing what they have for us coming up next. So what's going to happen? Oh, go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to say, do you know if they're going to do it all? Yep. They're going to dump the whole season at
they
once?
They are doing it. I just found that out this weekend. Just this weekend. They are going to dump it. They're going to do a Arrested Development.
Well, there goes my fucking weekend.
Yep. That is the weekend before I leave, so I may watch it.
What weekend is it coming out?
The 5th. September 5th.
Oh, shit. I might be down at Quince that weekend.
Oh darn. Shit. So we will be shotgun golfing as well as Trailer Park Boys watching.
Yep.
I will warn my wife.
Yes.
Oh, right. And for any listeners, yes, I'm married. I know. I don't believe it either. But I am. And she's awesome.
Yep. So, yeah. Trailer Park Boys coming up. We'll be back to formula. We'll be back to format, I guess, in the next episode. So join
Whatever
us for that.
Format ends up looking like.
Yeah. I know that's what people are, if they're actually listeners to the show, they're waiting for that. They're filling dead air with us rambling about SwearNet. They've probably already seen SwearNet. They're probably wondering,
why the hell are we talking about this?
Yeah,
right?
Why is it taking us so long to talk about it? Hey, you know. I have nothing to say. So I am going to say this, though. If you have something you want to share about SwearNet, or more importantly at this point, Trailer Park Boys Season 8, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/trailerpodboys. Leave us a message there. You can always send us an email at tpb@neozaz.com. And for all the latest episodes and all the past episodes and for everything we do at neozaz.com, simply visit neozaz.com. It was all now found there. So, guys, I really want to thank you first for getting back together and getting the rest off in these SwearNet episodes. I think by this 5th episode, we're certainly back into the routine of how to do these discussions. And I am extremely excited to see not only the next Trailer Park Boys episodes, but to have the conversations that we haven't had for over a year now about these episodes with you guys. So I am really looking forward to our next set of recordings.
I'm just so happy that the Not About Drunk and on Drugs.
Yeah, you know, there was a little bit of Trailer Park Boys content in the SwearNet stuff, and just watching that hearing the opening theme song just brings back so much nostalgia that I'm really looking forward to it.
Yep.
And yeah, even the one thing that comes back to me is, like, they did this shtick where they were in the jail cell with Bubbles trying to take a dump. And that was just like, okay, I'm ready for this again.
I'm
ready for them to come back.
It's funny. I'm well behind on editing all the episodes, and people will realize that when they're listening to this in 2016. I just started editing that today, and it's like, that is the you hear like a, you can actually, if you close your eyes, you might actually hear a switch flip in all of our heads when we start talking about those scenes.
Yeah. it's that clear.
It's,
huh?
our attitude changes so much. So
yeah,
yep.
And so yeah, I am very excited. I'm more excited than I thought it would be. So that's it's great.
Yep.
And then at some point, maybe we'll do an episode while we're all down there in Florida.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we will see what that brings. So thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll be back with episode 62, which marks the beginning of Trailer Park Boys Season 8.
The Trailer Pod Boys podcast is a NeoZazz.com production and part of the NeoZazz.com Internet Entertainment Network. For more great shows and original entertainment, please visit our website at neozaz.com. The Trailer Pod Boys podcast is not endorsed by nor affiliated with TPB Productions or SwearNet, Inc. All Trailer Park Boys and SwearNet characters, situations, places, and events are copyright TPB Productions, SwearNet, Inc., or their respective trademark or copyright holders. For all the latest Trailer Pod Boys podcast news and releases, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/trailerpodboys.